Isn't this a sports show?
I'm self-serving.
Yes, you definitely are.
Almost entirely.
There are more pieces of evidence of that than that the dinosaurs ever existed. We have more sound clips of me being self-promoting than we have fossils in the fossil record.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have more evidence of me being self-serving than we have that the moon landing was a real thing. Like, we know that I'm self-serving.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I play enough fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for coming up on 10 years, which is completely bleeping bonkers. I've barely been potty trained for 10 years.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I'm dope. Quit listening. Unfollow me on Twitter.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, but seriously, why do you not want to start Patrick Mahomes? I mean, we might as well cut to it. Some of you on Twitter are so aggravated. I just want it to happen. I just want to do it. I'll just see what happens. Come on. Play with me. Let's have some fun. Let's be the Giants. The Giants are benching Eli Manning for Geno Smith.
No thanks, I'm good.
Do you know how much
Do
you know how much less offensive it is to start Pat Mahomes over Alex Smith than it is to start Geno Smith over Eli Manning?
Is it though?
Oh my God, yes. Pat Mahomes is a complete unknown. We only know him from his college potential. A much better bet right now than Geno Smith. And Eli Manning has done so much more in New York than Alex Smith has done in Kansas City.
But, like, that's kind of, I don't want to say fluky.
He won two Super Bowls!
I know, but it was also that thing of the only year he's won playoff games is when he's won all the playoff games.
Now, listen. Okay, we're not starting the show with, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
Is he elite?
We're not starting today's show with that. By the way, have you guys ever watched Russell Wilson play football? He's a scrambling quarterback who's extremely good behind a terrible offensive line. Pat Mahomes is Russell Wilson, but better. Mark it. We'll get to that in a second. But we're not starting today's show with, is Eli Manning an elite quarterback? I don't care. I don't. But it's seriously, like, it's just it's an entirely different argument that we're having. Eli Manning has much more of a legacy in New York than Alex Smith does here, and Geno Smith is a much more known terrible commodity than Patrick Mahomes.
That is true. I will agree on that statement.
That's literally, I think, inarguable. I think that is the definition of inarguable. So we're going to talk about some of that in a little bit. We'll talk about Mahomes and Alex Smith. We have a couple of press conferences we're going to play later that are just stupendous. And Matt Verderam is going to join us in about 20 minutes, 25, whatever. But I went to Twitter yesterday, and I asked about your hesitations, because I am truly interested here. We had the show yesterday, which is very Mahomes positive. And I was curious to get some of the detractors on the record. I wanted to know what it is that you're seeing that I'm not, or I guess maybe vice versa. And I understand the face value thing here, that benching the known quantity for the unknown quantity is not an easy thing to do. And I understand that the Chiefs are currently barely leading the AFC West. I get it. But eventually you're going to have to replace the known quantity with the unknown quantity. Right now we're seeing maybe the worst Alex Smith we've ever seen. 5 or 6 weeks ago we were seeing some of the best Alex Smith we've ever seen. He exists between those two margins, most realistically somewhere in the middle. Again, benching the known for the unknown quality is a difficult move to make. But it's eventually going to happen. The Chiefs are eventually going to make that move. I did just sneeze between points there.
I heard it through the glass.
Yeah, it was very loud. But they got this cough button. Because if you're going to say, you know what, no, I'm always going to take the known mediocrity over the unknown, then Alex Smith is going to be your quarterback until he dies. Not until he retires, until his death comes. Because Alex Smith at age 80 is going to be a known quantity. So if you're not willing to make the move now, why would I believe that you're going to be willing to make the move this offseason? What does one offseason change? And if you have a hang-up on doing it now as opposed to doing it this offseason, are those hang-ups not worth overlooking to get Pat Mahomes a few extra games of experience? I think they certainly are. But a good handful of you disagree. And again, we talked about this part. This is just the first response I got was, well, yeah, I'm concerned about Alex Smith's plummeting trade value. Again, I think it was Danny Parkins who tweeted that Alex Smith is the definition of a known quantity. You are not going to get someone to overpay or underpay for Alex Smith. The Chiefs went and got him for 2 second round picks. He's now 5 years older, probably a single second round pick, something about like that. If you're the Jags, you're not going to make Josh Rosen try to win you the AFC South next year. You'd rather bring in Alex Smith to try to do it for a year than hand it over. That's probably worth a second-round pick. That way you're just investing a first and a second-round pick into your quarterback position. Maybe the Giants do that if they're going to move on from Eli Manning. It would be weird for the Giants to do it because if they want someone to start in front of a rookie, you would just keep Eli Manning, I would think. But the thing that's really hurt Alex Smith's trade value is the last six games or so of quarterback play. That's been more harmful than any benching would be. And even if you bench him right now, and again, you could do it very easily by giving him some sort of injury designation and saying, you know what, his shoulder's not right. We've got an issue here. I don't care if it's true. Again, lie to me. Go ahead. Lie to the NFL if you want. You know what, his injuries. He's got an injured shoulder. We're going to move to Mahomes. You can say, oh, you know what? He got hurt in the Broncos game. Those three games after that, those were flukes. You're going to get some other team on that. I'm not worried about his plummeting trade value. Another reason that came through is one that I don't think we had talked about yesterday, which is that Andy Reid is a loyal guy. He said all the way along that Alex is his guy. He doesn't want to terrorize Alex Smith with nightmares of the 49ers situation. And I get it. But Andy Reid also cut Jeremy Maclin like 45 minutes after attending his wedding. And I know that also was partially on John Dorsey, and it was a move that was largely forced by the necessity of freeing up some cap space. But this one would also involve a whole lot of that. Andy Reid isn't loyal beyond the point of winning. He's going to do the best job that he can do. He would be foolish to be loyal beyond the point of on-field success. And I was critical of the Jeremy Maclin move at the time, and I've been critical of it, I mean, since the moment it happened. I don't think you can pin that 100% on John Dorsey. I don't think moves like that get made without Andy Reid knowing about it. He might not have liked it, just like he might not like benching Alex Smith. But I would be stunned to inject Andy Reid with truth serum and to have him tell us that he had no idea about Jeremy Maclin being released. Maybe if he had full control, he wouldn't have done it. Maybe that did play into John Dorsey's firing. But Andy Reid is not going to be loyal up until a point that it begins to harm the team. I had somebody tweet me and say, Alex Smith is effective. The offensive line just isn't doing its job. And I feel like that guy needs... You know that parable? I guess it wasn't a parable. I guess it would have been categorized as a miracle. Where Jesus, like, spits in dirt and then rubs the mud on the man's eyes and scales fall off of his eyes. Beards, can you please fact check that miracle for me? Not the authenticity of it. I don't really want to have that conversation in this moment. I would just like the biblical reference to be accurate.
Yes, I do remember that.
That guy needs Jesus to spit in his eyes so the scales fall off. But you're right to an extent. The offensive line has been troubling. The offensive line has certainly struggled. But if you watch how Alex Smith is playing in conjunction with this offensive line, he's making it harder for the offensive line to be passable. Alex Smith is actively making it more difficult for the offensive line to hold up. He's dropping his eyes instead of keeping them downfield. He's backpedaling too far and running into more pressure. It would be infuriating to block for Alex Smith right now. Somebody else tweeted in and said, Pat is not ready. This offense still has holes that need filling. Who's the number two wide receiver? Name an offensive lineman that would be a Pro Bowler in 2017. And this one has a lot of problems with it. Because if Mahomes truly was this much of a glass doll, if he really could be ruined by playing because he's not ready, then the Chiefs would have another quarterback on this roster not named Tyler Bray. Because Mahomes could have been thrust into action last week whenever Smith dove for that first down and had a spleen caved in. But the Chiefs didn't go find another Nick Foles. Or even make Tyler Bray the backup. Because, obviously, Andy Reid does not think that playing time is going to ruin this extremely expensive piece of the future. No one with the Chiefs thinks that Mahomes is going to be ruined with playing time. Because if they did, they would go to great lengths to make sure he would never enter a game until he was ready. And, of course, the offense is not perfect. But the idea that this offense still has holes that need filling, like who's the number two wide receiver, that is an insanely overstated point. DeMarcus Robinson looked pretty darn good from the tape that I've seen. He hasn't gotten a whole lot of action, which I think, you know, is the quarterback's responsibility. But the offense, the Chiefs' offense, has one of the, if not the best, receiver, running back, tight end trio in football. I mean, you can go, you know, Gronk, Brandon Cooks, and then like Rex Burkhead. Or you can go Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Jesse James. But the Chiefs have one of, I would say at least one of the five best trios in football. For number one receiver, your tight end, and your running back. Even though Kareem Hunt has dropped off recently. And again, the offensive line has some severe run blocking problems recently. That is severe. But this offense with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, DeMarcus Robinson, it is not devoid of weapons. It's devoid of a quarterback who will utilize them properly. I mean, if you're going to wait until you have a Pro Bowl offensive line in front of Pat Mahomes, he's never going to play. And I mentioned Russell Wilson earlier on NFL Network, which is just always on in the studio and never interesting. They were just showing a clip of Russell Wilson just running back 10 yards and then doing like a little loop-de-loop and then running around again and then throwing a first down.
The fantasy show is on right now.
Fantastic.
That, yeah.
I love that show so much. But Russell Wilson is constantly doing that. Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger have played behind terrible offensive lines for most of their careers. Alex Smith makes his offensive line look worse than it is. I promise you, this is true. I will fight for this small truth that I must have. Somebody brought up the idea that maybe Mahomes doesn't have chemistry with the wide receivers, but that's silly because he looked very good with DeMarcus Robinson in the preseason. Somebody tweeted it, and so the problem with the Chiefs fans is that you've been deprived for so long that you're desperate. Allow the process. If he gets hurt, you should all publicly apologize for your hasty decision. So I ask, should the Texans apologize for starting Deshaun Watson? He got hurt. He's out for the season. Should the Giants apologize for running out Odell Beckham in a lost season? What are the rules? Where does this come from? We should apologize if Mahomes gets hurt playing football? Should Texas Tech not have played him last year behind that shoddy offensive line, or the year before with a shoddier one? I think it's silly. I mean, really, at this point, truthfully, I'm devoid of any arguments against it. And somebody else at one point tweeted in something like, you know, maybe Andy just really thinks that Alex is going to get it back in line. He's going to get it back on the right track. And I guess that's fine. But if you're going to believe in that, why and how long do you give Alex Smith to get it back on track? For me, it's not much more than this. And I think I mentioned this yesterday, the conspiracy theory that I'm on now. It's not really a conspiracy theory, but if I was Pat Mahomes, I would rather start at home against the Raiders than on the road against the Jets. I get that. Also, I wrote up a little post for Arrowhead Attic yesterday along with the show, which podcasted up there. And this is something that frustrates me, and it became clearer to me throughout writing this yesterday. I am very confident that getting 5 or more realistically 4 games of experience and maybe the playoffs for Pat Mahomes is the better start to his career. Because he could stink for 4 weeks. And he's got 4 bad weeks behind him by the time he gets into next season. And I don't think he's going to stink for 4 weeks, for the record. I think if he starts at home against the Raiders, I think Andy Reid is going to have a very specific, very good plan for how to maximize Patrick Mahomes. And I think that if that is the move that gets made, seriously, I think there are going to be a lot of very quiet people on Twitter on the other side of it going, wow, I feel silly for thinking this wasn't going to work out this way. But so here's the thing now. Here's the thing for the present. I think for the future, it's obvious. If you were going to tell me right now, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Alex Smith and the Chiefs are not going to win a second playoff game, which is that's the goal, right? That getting to the AFC Championship game would be a meager success this year, I think. If you could tell me with 100% certainty that was not going to happen, everyone should say, all right, fine, pull the trigger. Let Mahomes hit the ground now and get that experience. But even for the present, the offense can't do much worse than the 4 touchdowns in 4 weeks, with one of them being the check down miracle to Tyreek Hill and one of them being a screen pass to Albert Wilson. There's, you know, MVP Alex Smith, and there's 2 touchdowns in 4 weeks, Alex Smith. And Alex Smith, truthfully, resides somewhere in the middle. But at this point, I think you just give Mahomes the keys now. Because the worst case scenario, even for the present, the worst case scenario is that he has a catastrophic 4-game stretch of rookie jitters. Does nothing to help out an already ice cold offense. And then he hits the ground with some experience in 2018. And the best case scenario is that he comes in, you know, injects a little bit of energy into a zombified offense and it comes back to life. But I think at this point I'm completely out of devil's advocate arguments. One thing that Seth Kaiser tweeted out earlier today, we'll have him on later in the week. He said one issue Alex is having that doesn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet: instant short throws on plays where there's no pressure that go for 2 to 4 yards. I think that's due to defensive disguises and his internal clock being on the hyperdrive. It's something we've talked about for a few weeks now. Alex Smith is a pre-snap quarterback. The place where Alex Smith is better than average, the place where Alex Smith is one of the best in the league, is whenever it comes to diagnosing defenses before the snap. Alex Smith has been completely baffled these last 5 weeks or so. So he panics. He is not an improvisational quarterback. He's a pre-snap quarterback that struggles whenever it's not what he expected, and he's been getting disguises for the last several weeks. If he doesn't have his strength, how can you keep trotting him out there? Like, it's hard to watch. Another thing for the immediate. Leighton tweeted me and he said, how do we stop people from arguing that Alex doesn't turn the ball over? He literally had one first down the entire first half. All he did was turn the ball over on downs. Not a pick, but still a turnover. Hashtag carrot craze. I've been eating a lot of carrots, and now every time I eat a carrot, I just tweet out a picture of me with a carrot in my mouth. I've been eating a lot of carrots these last few days, and I think it's the Chiefs' fault. I think the Chiefs launched me into such a pit of self-destruction that I'm now eating carrots for fun. You can hear that in an Almost Entirely Sports promo coming soon. But Leighton makes a great point here. You can say that Alex Smith doesn't turn the ball over by, you know, literally handing it to the other team. They just punt it to the other team now. I've got nothing. I have no more arguments left for why making the move isn't the right thing to do for the present, for the future, and for my sanity. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to talk to Matt Verderam from Fansided. Always cool, level-headed. It reminds me of Benedict Cumberbatch's character in The Imitation Game. You know, he's just deep inside his head, just doing calculations all the time. Matt's going to be an emotional disaster. And misery loves company, so we'll all go there together.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Matt Verderam's going to join us at 5:30. He'll inject some moisture into the show. What?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
That's not pleasant at all. Two pieces of weird news before I get to Matt. The Colts claimed Ross Travis, and apparently Herm Edwards, is a serious candidate for Arizona State's head coaching job. Told you it was a weird couple pieces of news. It's bizarre. Right, good luck, Herm Edwards. Matt Verderam, now from Fansided, joins us on Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. Matt, before the break, I compared you to Benedict Cumberbatch's character in The Imitation Game. Very, very calm, cool, calculated. Really, it's all about the math and everything. I'm assuming there is no emotional distress going on in the Verderam residence over these last couple of weeks. Is that true?
I basically went through the 7 stages of grief during the Giants game. And so, by the time the Bills game rolled around, I was pretty much dead behind the eyes, just like the Chiefs.
Nice. There we go. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm been genuinely looking over the last couple of days for any reasonable argument for not starting Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, he's not going to start against the Jets. That's been determined. But at home against the Raiders is a pretty nice time to get a rookie his first couple of snaps. So looking ahead to the Raiders week, because, again, this Jets game is just, it's not going to happen. Do you have an actual reasonable argument against starting Patrick Mahomes against Oakland?
No, I mean, not unless Smith, of course, plays well against the Jets, and there's obvious reason to stick with Smith. But if he plays terribly, I was a staunch supporter of Smith through their first 3 losses. And I felt like he hadn't played well. But they had a lot of other issues, and I went on Twitter and even said, look, I'm blocking the next person who tells me they have to bench Alex Smith. I'm tired of people telling me that.
Right.
And, you know, 2 weeks later, I had a complete reversal. Of course, somebody mentioned and was right in doing so. I completely changed my mind. I think at some point you have to recognize what you're looking at. And I think earlier in their losing streak, you know, defensively they were terrible. Well, the last 2 weeks, they've been very good defensively, and they can't score a point. And so I think you have to say, okay, the offensive line certainly is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But Alex Smith is the easiest portion of this issue to replace,
yes.
And they're just not willing to do it. And I understand to a degree why, but I don't agree with it. I think Mahomes should have come in for the second half of that Bills game.
I guess that's the only thing there you said that I disagree with, because I would want to give Mahomes a full week to prepare, especially as the guy's been running the scout team all year. But I would have been happy to make the change now. A different question that sounds the same. Do you think that if the Jets game this weekend goes like the Bills and Giants games, do you think that will be enough for Andy Reid to make a move that none of us really expected him to make this year?
I'm to the point. I don't pretend to know it's an Andy Reid's head, but at the same juncture, I don't think they're going to change quarterbacks. I really think it would take them being mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. He just does not seem willing to do it. Whether or not that's because Mahomes just simply isn't ready and he knows that, or because he is just so beholden to Smith and feels like that's the best course of action for them, you know, it's tough to say. But I think if they were going to change quarterbacks, now would be the time. Like, the Jets are not a good team. The Jets have lost five of their last six as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there was ever a time, and I know people have said, well, you can wait till they're at home. I don't think MetLife Stadium is going to be raucous on Sunday.
Right.
So I think they could have made that move, and they didn't. And so I think anything short of injury, I don't think he's coming in unless you're eliminated.
Yeah. You mentioned the Jets have lost five of their last six, I think it is. And I was just thinking about how, oh, yeah, they're still stuck at that four-win mark. I wonder if they could go ahead and lose their next five also for the sake of really being confident that the Jets were going to hit the under on that 4.5 mark in the preseason.
Yeah.
That distracted me for the last 30 seconds. I went, is that still up for grabs? You talked about the offensive line, and I think that the point you made as to what is actually fixable currently and what is actually replaceable is the quarterback position. The Chiefs have a lot invested in that offensive line, and they're going to be stuck with it as is in large part going into the next season or two, especially for guys like Fisher, Schwartz, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif are all under pretty hefty contracts.
Right.
When you look at the problems that you've seen with the offensive line, what do you see as the problems, and what can the Chiefs do to amend any of them, if not this year, even over the offseason?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. One is they're good at certain things up front. They're very good in space, and I think they're a very good pass. No, I shouldn't say very good. I think they're a good pass blocking line. I think at times their issues in that department are exacerbated by the fact that Smith takes a 9-step drop
as
opposed to take a 5-step drop.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't think sometimes people understand that the offensive line, especially the tackle, it's about angles.
Yep.
And if you think your quarterback's taking a 5-step drop, you're going to set at a certain spot on the field. And if he takes 7 or 8 steps, you're giving that guy a free speed rush. And I don't want to say it's happened every time that there's been pressure, because that would be erroneous, but it's happened plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the run game, I think it's a matter of when you can't throw the ball to the extent that the Chiefs can't throw the ball right now, teams are going to just be very downhill and very aggressive towards your running back, and the Chiefs' offensive line is not built to win in a phone booth. It is built to win in space, and the Chiefs are not getting out in space right now. I also think that if Parker Edmonds is healthy, he needs to play. Because Zach Fulton's fine as a backup. Zach Fulton's not a starter.
Right.
And it's showing week in and week out. He's getting run over off guard.
And that's been really baffling, because I keep waiting to hear something about Parker Anger. But he's been an apparently healthy scratch the last couple of weeks. When Cameron Irving and, like, actually, I was going to say Jordan Devey or Devy. I don't even know if he's still on the roster, honestly, so he might not. That might have been erroneous. But is there any logical reason to the Parker Anger thing that you can figure out?
I think it has to be that he's just simply not back yet, that he's not fully healthy. But, you know, like you said, he hasn't been on the injury report.
Right.
So, you know, he started last year. I would even go back to Winston. Like, I don't understand this fascination that they have. And that's the one. Look, I'm not one of these people who think Reed should be fired. They could lose every game the rest of the year, and I wouldn't fire Reed. I think he's a terrific coach. I think he's being held back right now by a quarterback that basically is suffering from a football version of PTSD. He just simply cannot settle in.
Right.
I do think if there's one thing this coaching staff's culpable for, they have made just perplexing decisions at certain spots on this roster. The left guard situation's a mess. There was no reason Cameron Irving should ever have been starting over any other viable option.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trotting out Kenneth Acker and Phillip Gaines at times. Why?
Right.
Neither one of those guys can guard anybody. And then they go back to Terrence Mitchell last week, but they're going to abandon him now to go to Darrell Revis. There's been too much of this. I sometimes wonder with them what the impetus is behind some of these random changes or non-changes that they make.
Yeah, I do too, especially the cornerback thing. The offensive line shuffling felt more like just trying every piece in the toy box to see which one of them would just stick for a second. The cornerback moves were the most bizarre to me. Now you bring in Revis, as you said, so it's going to settle back in. But let's I guess, take a quick diversion to something that I feel pretty good about. One of the places where they made some moves was at the inside linebacker spot. Reggie Ragland seems healthy for the first time in his NFL career, which, you know, is a year and a half, basically. And he has looked stupendous. Kevin Pierre-Louis has been pretty all over the field in a position where the Chiefs are really kind of been working from a deficit at inside linebacker there. Those are two of the three moves that Brett Veach made, along with trading for Cameron Irving, which is a little more questionable. But you've got to feel pretty good about the offseason moves that Brett Veach had a chance to make, right?
Listen, I think Veach has done fine. Irving, for what they traded for him, I can't get on Veach for that.
Sure.
Like, if he turns into even a serviceable backup offensive lineman, it's a fifth-round pick.
Yep.
Like, that's typically what you're going to get out of a fifth-round pick. That's fine. So I don't think that's a bad move. The Ragland deal, I loved it at the time, and I love it now. I think it was a steal. I think he was I loved him at Alabama. I thought he was going to be a big-time NFL player. And then, you know, listen, Buffalo, I understand why they moved on from him. He didn't fit the scheme they were going to. But the Chiefs capitalized on that. He's been fantastic. I quite honestly, I think right now he's their best inside linebacker.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a nice move by Veach, who I don't think you could really point. I mean, if nothing else, look, Veach might have the acquisition of the year for them in terms of finding a gem in Harrison Butker. So, you know, Veach has done a very nice job for the Chiefs in the limited time he's been there.
What have you seen? We talked about the offensive line's troubles and how they're having trouble with the run blocking. Have you seen anything different from Kareem Hunt in these last few weeks? He has just been a ghost, essentially. Is there any culpability on him, or is it simply just not getting any of the space he needs because he doesn't have the kind of top-end speed that some pass running backs in the system have had?
No, I mean, the biggest difference I know is he's gained 800 pounds and defenders hanging off of him. They can't block.
Right.
I mean, at some point, you know, I don't care who you are. Like, if you're even a borderline NFL running back, if you get 11 carries, you're going to gain more than 18 yards if you have blocking in front of you.
Yeah.
And they can't block at all. I don't blame any of it on Kareem Hunt. Look, I think Hunt has actually done a nice job of continuing to break tackles, fight for extra yardage. He's gotten better in his pass blocking duties. But they can't block. And you at some point here have got to be able to run the ball. And I put that squarely on the offensive line struggles, as I mentioned earlier, in a phone booth situation. And also, you know, like everybody has talked about that old football action. You've got to run to open up the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2017, you have to oftentimes pass to open up the run.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs just continuously cannot throw the football. If they come out and throw the ball the way they did against Buffalo and the way they did against the Giants, Kareem Hunt's not running for a foot.
Yeah.
They need to be able to vertically challenge defenses, and they have Tyreek Hill, and they can't do it. And that, to me, just screams Alex Smith, because if you look at film of the Chiefs, it is not a scheme problem.
Yep.
There are guys running wide open, and he does not throw the ball. And, I mean, at some point, Andy Reid just got to be honest with himself and say, it's the quarterback. It just is. And I think regardless of the juncture of how Smith plays the rest of the year, he's long gone by the time OTAs roll around next year.
I agree. That's what I've expected since the preseason, since the Chiefs drafted Mahomes, essentially, was that day one, it'll be Mahomes' job, and there will be no Alex Smith. What do you think, though, in the current NFL quarterback climate, where you see Eli Manning get benched today, you've seen a lot of kind of bizarre things happen with bizarrely run teams. What's the value of Alex Smith this offseason?
I think he's going to have to be cut because I think they're going to. I think teams are going to know he's going to get cut. I think at the best at this point, like maybe you get a mid-round pick for him. You know, his value has gone down so much over the last 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think people are pretty, you know, cognizant of what's going on. I think to kind of spin it forward, the best news for the Chiefs is I don't think this is a long-term issue for this team. I don't think this current slide that they're in is going to be something where you're like, well, they have to just blow the whole roster up. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. I think offensively speaking, if Mahomes is what most people expect him to be, their offense is fixed. Yep. The second he steps in and he starts playing well, that offense is fixed because he will open up the run game for them. He will throw the ball down the field. We know that. And defensively, look, whenever Berry comes back, if Ragland keeps playing like this, I mean, the good news for the Chiefs is, assuming they release a few of these guys, we certainly expect them to, mm-hmm. they're going to have a ton of money this offseason.
Yep.
And I expect them to be players, you know, looking for a pass rusher, looking for a corner. And you know, that should be something that makes this team very good going forward, provided that Mahomes isn't a bust.
So if you do look ahead to the offseason of cutting Dee Ford, cutting Tom Pahaly, yep. Alan Bailey is one of the questionable ones. Alex Smith, Derek Johnson all seem like guys who just simply cannot be here next
right.
year. Is it outside linebacker and corner? Are those the two most obvious places you have to look, especially without a first-round yeah. pick next year?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe you'll look at guard as well. But I think, yes, corner and edge rusher to me are the two. No, Passione, he played very limited snaps against Buffalo, but he looked good.
Yeah, he did. I was shocked.
He played really well. So that's a really big positive for the Chiefs going forward. I'd like to see him rotate a bit more and more here as the season goes on. And they, you know, they're going to get the Daddy Nicholas back here soon, so that mm-hmm. helps. Do I actually like him? I think he could be an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. But, yes, the Chiefs should invest in, if nothing else, some rotational guys for the pass rush, but they should invest in another corner. They should be looking at Malcolm Butler and Trumaine Johnson and be mm-hmm. willing to spend the money to go get one of these guys. I know Veach talked about not wanting to be big in free agency, and I typically agree. You build through the draft, you sign your own guys. They don't have a first-round pick this year, and they've got plenty of money to spend. Mm-hmm. I think that should be the route they go. If they find a guard on a good contract, I'd be willing to look at that as well. This is not a team that is in for a long rebuild. This is a good football team with a very good roster that is in the middle of a brutal, perplexing stretch of football. But, you know, Chiefs have to look at their division and feel pretty good going forward. The Broncos are a mess. The Raiders are okay, but I don't think anyone looks at them and thinks they're a great team on the horizon. And the Chargers are good, but they're built around a 35-year-old quarterback who's not getting any younger. So the Chiefs, as long as Mahomes is good, the Chiefs should be fine.
Yep.
He just has to be good.
What did you think about the Giants today, benching Ben McAdoo announcing that they're benching Eli Manning to start Geno Smith? Although McAdoo did offer Eli Manning a chance to continue to start as Geno and whoever the third stringer is get some playing time to an offer that Eli Manning declined. What did you take away from that today?
I'm a native New Yorker,
uh-huh.
so I have plenty of friends back home who are Giants fans. And I will
yeah.
say that I agree with what I've heard from most of them who would say McAdoo should be fired yesterday.
Right.
I don't understand what they're waiting for. You know, Mara and Tischer are good owners. I don't understand what the point is in letting this guy just run carte blanche when he has no idea what he's doing. Look, I can understand that if they said, we're going to go with Davis Webb. He was a third-round pick,
mm-hmm.
you know. He's maybe a guy that could he be our future. We're going to find out over the next couple of games. To bench him for Geno Smith, you're benching a two-time Super Bowl champion, a two-time Super Bowl MVP for Geno Smith. That is incompetence.
Yes.
There's no other way of putting it. It makes no sense. And while you know everybody loves to make fun of Manning, but the guy deserves a hell of a lot better than getting benched for Geno Smith with 5 weeks to go in the season.
Yeah, I 100% agree. The idea of being able to open it up to try to figure out somebody in the future, I get it. But also, like the worst part, I think, to me was the admission that McAdoo made that, like, yeah, if you want to keep the streak alive, we can do that. Because it wasn't even it took out all of the logic from underneath what McAdoo was apparently doing. It's insane.
It's like the equivalent of if the Chiefs were 2-9, which it feels like they are at the moment.
Right.
And If they were 2-9 and the Chiefs said, you know what we're going to do? You know, Tomba, you know, let's say you're still playing at a relatively high level. And you said, you know, Tomba, listen, we're thinking about benching you because we want to see what Frank Zombo has.
Right.
You'd be like, what are you talking about? What?
Right.
I mean, it's a confounding decision by a head coach that, frankly, I think should have been fired weeks ago. I think he should have been fired at the 49ers game. Then the Chiefs went out and gave him a stay of execution. And,
right.
You know, here he is, but. I feel bad for Manning, and I have a feeling he's going to be in Jacksonville next year because Tom Coughlin is going to want Eli Manning.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought about Coughlin being there and bringing him back. Oh, man. That's too bad because I would really love for the Jacksonville Jaguars' second-round pick to get nailed to Kansas City. I would have really enjoyed that, but no, yeah, that's a good point.
I don't think Smith is going to get traded. I think he's going to get cut. And you know what? I think there's going to be there's going to be a lot of teams bidding for him because – well, Smith drives a lot of people crazy, including myself sometimes. He's a veteran NFL quarterback who's won some games. I mean, he's going to be – Denver's going to come calling. Arizona's going to come calling. If Jacksonville doesn't get Manning, they'll come calling. There's going to be plenty of teams. I mean, he's going to end up somewhere on a pretty good contract. So this is going to be a fascinating quarterback market. You're going to have him, A.J. McCarron. You're going to have Kirk Cousins. You're going to have some pretty – significant names on the market who are guys who are going to command good money.
What do you think is going to happen this weekend as the Chiefs play all three New York teams back to back to back and end up going to the same stadium 2 out of 3 weeks, which that can't happen ever. It's a little scheduling quirk for all of you who are looking for something to watch on Sunday that isn't just sadness. You can enjoy a scheduling quirk. What do you expect whenever the Chiefs go play the Jets in New York?
You know what? The last 2 weeks, I have said that I think the Chiefs are going to lose. I thought they were going to lose coming out of their bye. I had a horrible feeling about the game, and I was convinced they were going to lose to the Bills. I actually picked them to lose by 17, so they outperformed my expectations. there is no basis for this other than a gut feeling. I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I think the Chiefs, because everybody thinks they stink, and everybody's out on them, and everybody's done and set up for them. This is peak Chiefs. This will be the game that they go out and win by 40. I don't have any basis other than just I think the Chiefs hit rock bottom against the Bills. I don't think you can play any worse than that at home. You're on talk radio. Everybody's killing them. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of game where everybody's totally fed up with them, and they're going to go on the road, and they're going to find a way to win, and then everybody's going to be freaking out. I could absolutely see a weekend where they go and beat the Jets, and the Chargers, who are everybody's darling right now, go home and lose to the 0-11 Browns.
Right.
Because that's just the NFL, and that's the Chargers, and that's the Chiefs.
Ray of Sunshine, I dare say. Matt Verderam here with us today. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You can read all of his stuff at FanSided. What's your podcast again, Matt? I should have had this written down somewhere. It's got something to do with a box, dang it.
That's fine. It's Stacking the Box.
Stacking
it's
the Box.
On iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. It goes up every Monday afternoon.
I knew it had something in or around a box, and I just could not get that first word confidently enough.
You were close.
I 2 out of 3 ain't bad. All right, Matt, always good to talk to you, and good for you to bring in the optimism for this weekend, a move that is absolutely stunning to me. You taking that stance is more shocking to me than the Chiefs losing these last 2 weeks.
It makes me feel better, Josh. It's stunning to me that I'm taking that stance. But I got to follow my gut. I've been right the last 2 weeks. God knows I've been wrong plenty of times before, but my gut just says – this team is weird, but it's talented and it's prideful, and I just think that inevitably this talent's going to show up, and I think I just have a weird feeling. I think they're going to find a way to win this game.
I'll take it, Matt. Always good to talk to you, and I appreciate your optimism.
Hey, take care, Josh. Thank you.
I needed it. I need some optimism. I don't know if you can hear the sloshing of the drink. I'm hitting up against the can now. At least here's the. Here, I'll take a sip.
It wasn't stolen?
I'll take a sip really quick. Hold on. All right, there. That's the that's the cool taste of some losses slurping down. That's some negativity, some cynicism, all in this QT energy can. So Matt coming along with a little palate cleanser of optimism was frankly stunning. And I'm probably going to pick the Chiefs again this week also. But, like Matt, anyone picking the Chiefs this week has to be doing it for no logical reason whatsoever. All right, whenever we come back, we're talking about the offensive line a little bit more.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Next hour, we'll do Entirely Sports. How dumb am I? I fooled myself.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I got a Twitter notification during the break. It said, Pez Mahomes II followed you. And I swear, I had a heart palpitation. That is mean. That person's got three letters in their name. In their first name. It's just the flash was too quick. All right, listen, we don't have much time here. Beard, just turn the music the whole way down. Let it play. Turn the music the whole way down. I know we have very limited time, but we've got to get you a press conference, a very important press conference. Here is Tom Savage after last night's game.
You good?
Good. Great.
That was Tom Savage after last night's game.
The entire press conference.
That was the entire press conference.
Uninterrupted. Unscripted.
He walked into the press conference room. You could hear a faint female voice. Can you isolate that really quick, Beards? I know we're low on time. Isolate her voice. She goes, well, no one's here. No one's here. Are we good? Yeah, we're good. All right. Which, you know, good time for Tom Savage. I don't have to talk to the media too much. What an absolute disaster. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about the offensive line. It's not great, but it's not the hugest problem. Alex Smith is. All right, good talk, guys.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.